some of you may be new to us. We read through the Bible, and if you would like to read along with us, this booklet guides you through reading, and from the passages of Scripture you've read the past week, out comes a sermon. We also have a Wednesday night Bible study that follows this as well, and would love to have you join along with us. We are now entering Joshua just this weekend and reading through Joshua, one of my favorite passages of the Bible. I think we can connect with Joshua in many ways. Remember back in Numbers chapter 13, the people of Israel had sent 12 spies into the land, and they all came back and said, "Wow, filled with milk and honey, but there are walled cities and there's giant people in the land and the obstacles seem too great." And the people of Israel followed the counsel of 10 spies and they said, "Oh, we can't do it, we can't do it." Now, I will tell you, when I prepare a sermon, I'm really saying, "God, speak to me." And if any of the leftovers are helpful to anyone who comes on Sunday, that's great. But Lord, what do you want to say to me? But I will also say to you that as you prepare a message and then you present a message, you cannot help but identify with the folks that come in and realize that each one of you has entered today with some giant before you in your life, whether it's this next week or today. We had a number of folks come this morning who face funeral services this afternoon. One group losing both parents this past month. And you realize each one comes with a challenge before them. And so I believe we can all identify with Joshua, walled cities, giants in the land, and challenges before us, and needing strength and courage for what we're facing. So my prayer is that you will also be encouraged today by what God has said to Joshua. Joshua, he had been mentored by Moses for 40 years. That was good training. God had prepared Joshua for the challenge before him by first equipping him for that through his mentor, Moses. And when you think about that, first I thought, well, Moses has just died. So now you're all of a sudden facing the challenges of life without that leader, that person in your life, the one you picked up the phone and called and said, "I need some insight in how to make this decision." All of a sudden, he's now facing decisions by himself. And then I realized that the Bible calls him an assistant, and the Hebrew is masharet, which meant he was a chief assistant. But as you look back, you realize that the name Joshua has been appearing along with Moses for a long time. And we don't think about that. I always think of who was up on Mount Sinai. It was Moses. Oh, and Joshua. Or when they went to the tent of meeting to hear from God, there was Moses. Oh, and Joshua. And all of a sudden you realize that that mentoring by Moses to Joshua was one that centered on introducing Joshua to the God that Moses served and to that relationship with God that Moses had. And so it was a mentoring that meant showed him, and then it went alongside him in the first battles that Joshua was sent out on. You remember you have Moses holding up his hands as Joshua's out in battle, and then you have people helping hold up his hands, but interceding for Joshua. So Moses shows him, not only shows him what it's like to win in battle, but to have a walk with God, and then he is with him as he goes out and leads in battle, and now he has been commissioned by Moses, and Moses departs to be with the Lord, and now it's Joshua's responsibility to lead. So there was preparation. If we're going to find strength in the challenges before us, I think we often find strength through examples of those who have gone before us. Or some of you remember John Moore's song sung by Steve Green, "May all who come behind us find us faithful." Joshua is following in the footsteps of Moses and learned from Moses' example. So as you go into this day, I'm sure there's challenges before you. Think of high school seniors, excited about graduating from high school, but then go, oh, what are the challenges before us? College graduates, oh my goodness, what challenges you face? There's folks with health issues and family losses and family challenges today. And as a church and as a community, as a nation, we face challenges. And I believe these words to Joshua will be an encouragement to us. So first, we see that there's strength through mentoring the Lord's point man. And that point man is now Joshua. Joshua is going out to battle. Well, let me look at the second point, and that is strength through remembering God's promises. We see that beginning in verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. There's an interesting translation. Some of you have the New International Version, which reads, every step I will give to you. And then the Pew Bible says, I have given you. And the point I wanted to make is that God's promises, though future in fulfillment, are certain based on the character and the power of the one who gave the promise. Meaning, because God has given these promises, we can be assured that they will be fulfilled. That's encouraging, isn't it? God's promises in our future are as sure as completed because God is the one who gave us the promises. We have strength through remembering God's promises. Certainty rests in the character of God. The only sense in which that verb is future is in the experience of the Israelites to receive God's gift. But God has given those promises and he has guaranteed that they will be fulfilled. Later on in Joshua, we read this, not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. Everything that God had promised, he would fulfill. God keeps his promises. And it's important to recognize that God's promise was not simply the possession of a land, but a preparation of a people to live in that land. So the promise is both a physical promise and a spiritual promise. I think it's important for us, because of the challenges that we face, to remember God's promises, to have God's promises memorized. We have a ministry called Awana, some of you know about. It's about scripture memory, but not just remembering them, but saying, yeah, I can claim those promises in the challenges I'm facing today as well. I find that comforting to recall the promises of God. How about this one? In this world, you'll have tribulation. That's a promise, but take heart. I have overcome the world. God gives us his promise. Jesus gives us the promises. Another promise, 1 John chapter 5, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. We face challenges. All of us face challenges every week. We face temptations. Paul says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. Sometimes you feel all alone in the particular challenge you're facing. Paul says, Paul's claiming a promise of God that he will not allow us to be tempted beyond that which we are able, but with the temptation will give us a way of escape also. Promises of God. How about all of us face the fear of mortality? I love the promises. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies. Or Jesus saying, behold, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's a promise of God to us. It's a wonderful promise. All of God's promises will be fulfilled based on His word, who He is, His character, and His power to fulfill those promises. When I look at this, just the name Joshua, we're in the book of Joshua, his name began as Hoshea. Hoshea, which was salvation. But then Moses adjusted that name, like Saul becomes Paul. Moses says, I'm going to call you Yehoshea. He added an important thing. Yah, the Lord saves. See, the promise of salvation is not because of Joshua or because of us, but the Lord saves. And then we see a contraction of that name, and it becomes Yeshua. That's the name that we're familiar with hearing from the Hebrew. Yeshua becomes Esau, which is Jesus. Jesus. Why was Jesus given the name Jesus? Because He will save His people from their sin. So Joshua is a picture looking forward to Jesus, the one who would not only save us, give us a promised land, but give us a promise of eternity. Jesus, it's the name of Jesus that gives us the promise of eternity. So the Lord's promises give strength to us as we face the challenges of life and the walls ahead of us and the obstacles in our lives, the things that make us uncertain, and that is the promises of God. Then we see strength through experiencing the Lord's presence. Strength through experiencing the Lord's presence. We see that beginning in verse 5, and then 9 reinforces it. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I was, here's the important word, with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. And then back down at verse 9, at the end of verse 9, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What do you feel like when you're facing a challenge? Sometimes you feel all alone, right? You feel like there's no one here on this battle taking this challenge with me. And that's the promise. The presence of God is with us no matter what that challenge is ahead. The Lord promised Joshua, you know, Moses is not with you any longer, but I am with you. I promise my presence with you. I thought it was also interesting, back in chapter 34 of Deuteronomy, verse 9, we see that the presence of God is present with him by his Spirit. And Yeshua, the son of Nun, was full of the Spirit of wisdom. And I believe that's the Holy Spirit providing that wisdom for Moses, who had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. So how does God promise to be with us? By his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is promised to be with us as followers of Jesus Christ. Having believed, you were sealed with a promised Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who secures our salvation, guarantees our salvation. According to Ephesians 1:13, we have the promise of God's presence by his Holy Spirit. So Jesus says to his followers, lo, I myself am with you always, even unto the end of the age. That's the promise. So as Joshua goes into battle, he is reminded that God's presence is with him. He is without Moses, but he's not without the Lord. Whatever that challenge is before you, and you have the Lord's presence as a follower of Jesus Christ to be with you in facing that challenge, finding strength through experiencing the Lord's presence by his Holy Spirit. Fourthly, we find strength through knowing the Lord's purpose, keeping his eyes on the purpose that God had for him. What was the purpose? Joshua had a purpose, and the purpose was to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. And it says in verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land I swore to their fathers to give them. The purpose was to fulfill God's promise for a land. But I want to suggest to you that the purpose was also that God would prepare a people that would follow him in the land. So Joshua was not only responsible to make sure that he had safely gotten people across the Jordan, had conquered the cities, had found a land for them, but these people would continue to follow the Lord as God had revealed himself to Moses from generation to generation. That was Joshua's responsibility. It was not only a physical heritage, but a spiritual heritage. And that's why I find great encouragement at the end of Joshua, and I'm sure you've quoted this before. Joshua not only had completed the land acquisition, but he says this at the end of his ministry. He says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Wasn't that an affirmation that he had kept his eyes on the purpose that God had given him? Not simply providing a nice dwelling place for the people, but he had been faithful to transfer to that next generation the truths of God's word, his commandments for the next generation to follow the Lord. God gave the land to a people, and he prepared a people for the land. Fifth thing that gave him strength. Strength was found through living God's principles. Living God's principles, 7 and 8. "Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." I don't know if I've been as aware or as sensitive to how important the strength of the people of Israel was not in their military might. It wasn't because they had more soldiers. It wasn't because they had sharper swords that they had victory. In fact, the first battles, the Battle of Jericho, and they did. God's the one that takes the walls down to demonstrate that it is he and following his commands, being obedient to him, doing what God tells us to do, that gives strength. Our nation's strength in application is not in our aircraft carriers, not in our military might. It is in righteousness that a nation finds its strength. It's in morality and spirituality that a nation finds its strength. God was telling Joshua, "It is by obeying my commands that you will have victory in battle. It's in obeying my commands that you will have success." So the strength was found in living God's principles. Joshua says it this way in Joshua 8:35, "There was not a word of all that Moses commanded that Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel." Now, those are the first five books of the Old Testament. What you've been reading, he read the whole thing. He read all what God had said to the assembly. And it says, "And the women and the little ones and the sojourners, everyone was to hear the word of God." And then he says in Joshua 11, "Just as the Lord had commanded Moses, a servant, so Moses commanded Joshua, and so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses." So if we're to have an impact as followers of Jesus Christ, as an impact in our world, it is doing what God has commanded us to do, not just memorizing it, but putting it into practice. Joshua concludes the book of Joshua saying this, "Only be careful to observe the commandment of the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cling to him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." Strength is found in obeying what God tells us to do. Well, I want to give one more strength, and that last strength is strength in seeking God in prayer. Strength in seeking God in prayer. The application this week is thinking about praying for our nation. You know, this is National Day of Prayer Week. You find these little brochures as you go out around the church building. I invite you, encourage you to pray for our nation this week. In Clifton Park, we pray around the flagpole in the commons, in front of the hockey rink there. We used to pray at the town hall. We'd arrive, and just as the town hall employees were going off for lunch and find out that all these loving Christians had taken their parking spots while they were at lunch, so we decided that a more loving thing to pray for our governing officials was to be at the commons around the flagpole. So join us there. Some will be praying in Albany, Schenectady. I believe Glenville also has a prayer area. But I encourage you on Thursday, noontime, if you can't be there personally, be praying for our nation as you think about this week. It is a significant time in history and in our nation. So I encourage you to be praying. I just received a letter. Oh, actually, I was reading Psalm 46 this week when I got an email that day from a friend. But let me just read the psalm first. Come and see the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. And you think about that, it puts our strength and focus on the Lord. So this friend of mine happens to live in a little Midwestern state called Indiana. So if I don't know if you've heard, Indiana's on the news this week. So, dear Peter, this is his letter. The tone and climate of the current election cycle frequently leaves me agitated and angry, and sometimes nearly numb with a sense of helplessness, as others exhibit shocking behavior and no one seems to care to hear my voice. This is not a diatribe against any particular political party or position. That kind of thing has no place here, and I'm not so sure of my own opinions to privilege them before you. Rather, it is a confession of how thoroughly I sometimes permit the turbulence in our political arena and the wider society to weigh down my heart and mind. Then he writes, be still and know that I am God. He goes on, sometimes it requires a great deal of focused effort to remember who really holds dominion in every possible place, in every possible way. Yes, we know intellectually that God rules, but my heart still trembles with fear and outrage at the apparent dominion that others seem to exercise or want to exercise over my life. Be still and know that I am God. The real question for me and perhaps for you is whether or not I trust the Lord, who has determined I will be exalted among the nations and I will be exalted in the earth. When other people seem to hold all of the apparent cards, do I trust him? And is it enough for me to remember to be still and fix upon knowing that he is God? Dear brother, I earnestly want to be marked by a quiet heart and a gracious bearing, simply because I know that, indeed, the Lord is God, whether nations, candidates, governments, or powers acknowledge this or not. God bless. Timothy, Dr. Timothy Spencer. Let me read a benediction. Let's stand together, and I'll read a benediction, and then we'll close in a song this morning. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.